We are in a very serious spiritual state nationally. Our nation has legislated against many Christian principles, and we're heading for a fully secularized culture where we might not be allowed to even speak our minds in public. Now, there's a reason why this has happened, and it's because we Christians, to a large extent, have wrongly concluded that the church is only to be concerned with spiritual life and not secular life. We have no problem allowing unregenerate men to dictate their agendas to us as long as we can stay in control of the spiritual things. We have no particular agenda of our own for the world. We have opted out of these things, these earthly things, as if the world that God created as good was evil per se. We've forgotten our full role in the world. We've made a big mistake in thinking God is not really interested anymore in this world as it is, in its culture, in its society, in its music, in its art, and philosophy, industry, commerce, and so on. But all these areas of human life in which God intended to us for us to depict his glory. The whole world and all that it contains was to reflect his glory. Yes, of course, mankind fell and ruined themselves and the earth, and God had and has a purpose of mercy towards all creation, including especially mankind, who is the highest and most dignified of all his creation. God has sent his Son to redeem the whole of creation. Paul tells us that Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, not only created all things and not only holds all things together, but will also reconcile to himself all things neuter, whether on earth or in heaven. That's in Colossians chapter 1, 14 to 20. In speaking of the ministry of reconciliation, Paul tells the Corinthians that in Christ, God was reconciling the world, not just humanity, the cosmos, to himself. 2 Corinthians 5. God is bringing to pass his promise to Abraham to redeem mankind so that all nations will, through Abraham's seed, Israel and the church. The church is not a subculture. Rather, the church in itself is a full, complete culture dominating all of life. It is not just a single spiritual discipline in amongst other disciplines. When God began to build his church of Israel, he separated them from the pagan understanding of reality and truth. God called them to be a nation, a full-orbed culture, not a subculture. He called Israel out of Egypt and said to them, "You shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation," Exodus 19, verse 6. They were to be a special people. They were to have special laws, special values, special ideals, completely different from the world's ideals and gods. The whole Israelite culture was to develop into a community which glorified God in all its activities. There is actually no distinction between the spiritual and the secular. Everything is spiritual, really, in that sense. And everything's created by God for his glory. Everything is God's invention and his creation. There is nothing outside of God's interest, love, concern, and involvement except sin. God is glorified in all that goes on in the world. Even a way back in Isaiah's day, he could see the whole earth is filled with his glory. God called the church out to be a people, not individuals, and to work as a group. Once, he says, you are not a people, but now you are God's people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Paul identifies Christians as those whom Christ has redeemed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, Titus chapter 2. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Chapter 8. They were to be a whole community of God's new society to serve the Lord. They were to be not just a people, but people on a mission. God's mission to change the world. With gifts and talents to be used to give glory to God in all sorts of ways. God has given many wonderful gifts to humanity to show forth his glory, his handiwork. He has even kept a record of who the founders of many of those gifts are, in music and art and architecture. We read of Jabal, father of all who dwell in tents and father of those who are in livestock. There's Jubal, he's the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. There's Jubal Cain, the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. Read Genesis chapter 4. Man was created to be creative and to show forth his glory in many ways. We read of them at the very beginning of the Bible, as Calvin and Nigel Lee inform us in their writings. They tell us about Eve, that she used her gifts of aesthetics as she dressed the garden. Adam used his understanding of economics as he exploited the bdellium and the gold and the onyx stones. Adam used his knowledge of linguistics as he named the animals. Noah's knowledge of mathematics was used as he counted the animals and measured the ark. We read of Bezalel. I, says God, have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. Exodus chapter 31. So God says about humanity and his hand in it. And further on, the Levites, they were to work building the ark, and they were to weave the blue and the purple and the scarlet linen for the coatings in and around the tabernacle, and so on. Israel were to be a witness to all the other nations through their faith in the living God, in Yahweh. With their different beliefs, convictions and lifestyle and belief in the one God. When Israel obeyed God, God blessed them, so that other nations marveled at what God had done for them. People of all nations spoke of the wonderful God that Israel had. Ultimately, all the nations of the world will come and acknowledge the God of Israel to be the only true God. And now the Christian church has to continue this mission of bringing all nations to know the one living and true God. Isaiah encouraged the believers in his day, in his prophecy, prophecy that many peoples shall come and will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Yes, we have lost the power to influence our generation, because down through the centuries, we've turned away from God and from his word. And as a result, he's turned away from us and left us to get on with it. But we can regain God's favour and power by repentance and confession of our sins. We can again be an influence in our nation and to all nations by acknowledging our sins and following Jesus Christ and accepting his word as authority. There are enough Christians in our land to transform our nation to be a godly nation once again. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Luke chapter 9. Do you want a righteous and a just nation? Do we complain about the injustices of life? Well, a return to God is the only answer. Isaiah gives a wonderful promise to his covenant people. He says, in effect, just as grass grows, so will my kingdom grow to all nations. Listen to him. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts every season, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness, right living, and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 11. Yes, a fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise about all nations of the earth knowing the Lord, and a fulfillment of the prayer Christ taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. May God bless these thoughts to us.